Evan Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We are back. Michael Cohen, producer Andre Holgate, just about to turn 6:34 on a Wednesday evening in Lansing. Thanks for joining us. Well, black students are being suspended from school at a higher rate than white students nationwide, but here in Michigan, the disparity between the two is one of the highest in the nation. UCLA's Center for Civil Rights Remedies at the Civil Rights Project studied suspension rates data from 7,000 school districts to find out what the numbers are and what's behind them. I'm joined by lead author Dan Lowson. Dan, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Now, the data analyzed covered about 85% of the nation's public school students, which is just incredible. Has this kind of data ever been looked at before?
The U.S. Department of Ed collects this data about once every other year, although they are going to be collecting the data from every school district in the nation for the most recent school year that just ended. So for 2011-12, all the districts in the nation have to report this data beginning in September. Now that the school year's over, now, they can collect it and send it in.
Tell me, what is the overall national numbers for suspension rates for black students and for white students?
So it's about 17% overall nationally for black students, and it's about 6%, 6.5% for white students. But the real story is at the district level, where we see incredibly large disparities that are even higher than those numbers, and very disturbing. And also, when we break it down, looking at students with disabilities, who across the board are about twice as likely to be suspended. So nationally, about 13% of all students with disabilities were suspended out of school at least one time.
Now,
K through 12.
You're saying within single districts, the disparity is much larger then.
Oftentimes, we see larger disparities, but also much higher rates. And so, you know, for example, in Michigan, across the state, based on the sample, which was covered about 71% of all students in the state, 21% of all black students, that's more than one out of every five students attending school in Michigan, K through 12, was suspended at least one time. That compares to 6.2% of the white students.
Now, that's for Michigan. That's throughout the state. In terms of any local numbers, are they pretty much at that level here in the Lansing area and so on?
Well, in the Lansing area, overall, Kalamazoo suspended 19.2% of all students, but 28.2% of black students, and 61% of black students with disabilities, and 25.4% of white students with disabilities. So that was, pretty shocking. And if you're a parent of a child with disabilities, I'd be very concerned about the quality of supports being provided in that district.
I'm trying to understand. Are you talking about those students that have physical disabilities then?
All sorts of cognitive disabilities. So if they are eligible for what's called an individualized education plan, so these kids could be kids with ADHD, kids with a cognitive disorder, intellectual disorder.
But essentially kids that may be more prone to misbehave in a classroom.
Well, the thing is, not necessarily, but I'm a student with a disability, and let's say I have a behavioral disorder. By rights, I have a right to an education, and the school district, this is a federal requirement, has got to provide me with a behavioral assessment and then an improvement plan, and provide me with the supports and services that I need because of my disability. In other words, you can't kick kids out because they have a disability. They all have a right to be educated.
Well, tell me, in terms of the disparity, by the way, I'm talking to Dan Lowson. He's with UCLA's Civil Rights Project about their new report finding a disparity, a significant one, between white students and black students being suspended from school. How do you explain the number difference here between black students and white students?
Well, there could be a whole set of things that explain the difference. But I think we have to start out with the understanding that kicking kids out of school where they're oftentimes unsupervised, is not an educationally sound practice. And it's very highly correlated with a much greater risk of dropping out, but also becoming incarcerated. So it's not an effective way to address, you know, I used to be a teacher. I taught for 10 years, so I can empathize with those who may think, we got to kick out some of these bad kids so the good kids can learn. But I also realized, because I was one of those teachers sending kids to the principal's office right and left, and they came back and said, Dan, you have a classroom management problem, and, you know, they were right. And I was able to be supported and trained in a way that by my 10th year, I didn't even think about sending a student to the principal's office.
Let me ask you, is this indicating that school districts that are predominantly made up of black students, such as in Detroit, that their numbers are simply higher all around than school districts that are predominantly made up of white students?
Not necessarily. So in Detroit, they're suspending 15.8% of all students. So they're not the highest within Michigan. It is probably true, though, that schools that have very good training and support for teachers, maybe smaller classrooms, good facilities, those kinds of opportunities, and are very equitable in the supports that they provide kids and the quality of special education are probably kicking out fewer kids.
So, but what we let me ask you, is this an issue of the students misbehaving at a higher rate or school policies that are leading to this disparity?
Well, there was a study done in Texas where they tracked all the middle school students in Texas, over a million students, and they tracked these students for 6 years, and they controlled for race and poverty and behavioral history and the type of school. And what they found was that when you control for all those factors, the school itself made a huge difference in terms of whether a student was likely to be suspended or not. And so whatever else is at work, schools make a tremendous difference. So a lot of the huge variation we see in the use of suspension does come down to school practices, policies, training, leadership. You can look at Baltimore, for example. Most people know Baltimore, The Wire. There, the superintendent, Andres Alonso, came in and reduced by tens of thousands the number of suspensions. One of the things he did, he eliminated all the minor things. They didn't suspend kids for truancy anymore, for dress code violations, for tardiness, for cell phones. Those sorts of things make no sense whatsoever. So there's a lot going on that schools can do.
A lot of these suspensions, you're saying, are due to not necessarily violent behavior or misbehavior in a classroom.
Yes, the vast majority of the suspensions are for nonviolent, non-serious kinds of behavior. Well, they're disruptive, so it's serious from that perspective. But, right, they're not drugs, it's not violence, but it's not guns or weapons
involved. Just to be clear, though, in any given school district, it's not that black students are necessarily being targeted for suspension in a way that white students are not, is it?
Well, it could be. The data that I'm looking at just tells you about the difference in the use of suspension, but we don't know what exactly the reasons are. We know that from other studies, but we don't know that about Michigan and per se. But the most important thing is that where we have looked at that, in North Carolina, for these minor offenses, black students, for say, cell phone or public display of affection, those kinds of minor offenses, for the first offense, and the only offense, these are kids only suspended once. In that state, they found about 35-40% of black students would be suspended out of school the first time they committed a minor offense, and white students, about 15%, were suspended out of school. So most of the kids actually first time weren't suspended, but of those that were, it was much more likely that a black student would be treated more harshly. So I do think that is part of what's going on. And it's not to suggest that teachers are intentionally doing that, but there could be all kinds of unconscious bias that contribute to these patterns. And males are much more likely to be suspended as well.
But in terms of suspensions, aren't they fairly regimented when it comes to a school's policy to find the exact grounds to suspend a student?
Well, it depends on the district. So a lot of this is determined at the district level. And what actually the Texas study found is that a lot varies from the school level. So I would say, no, there's a lot of subjectivity. But it's also true that subjectivity can be a good thing in that you can, if you understand there are mitigating circumstances, you might actually try to intervene. And the point, I guess, is that out-of-school suspensions, even if kids were misbehaving more, it's not an appropriate response most of the time.
Well, what is the other option? Yeah, let's say we are talking about misbehavior where a student is either threatening other students or simply disturbing them. What is the other choice then to isolate them and get them out of the classroom?
Right. So there are many, many choices. So one of them is restorative justice, where kids are still being held accountable, but kicking the kid out of school is not the first step. The first step is to address the student's behavior and hold them accountable to either the student or to the community, the classroom. If the kid is destroying property, that they would have to repair that property, those sorts of things. And it's fairly intensive. Now, there's also school-wide things, school-wide positive behavioral interventions and supports, a whole systemic program that involves teacher training, but it involves also rewarding positive behavior and focusing on that in ways to and de-escalating situations where kids are acting up.
Okay.
So no one is saying we just leave the kids in the classroom who are acting up. That's absolutely not what the research says. You know, they Yes, go ahead.
Well, one last thing. So in terms of the suspensions themselves, they're typically a day or several days at most, right?
Oh, they often are for more than 5 days. What this study does not have is the data on how many days of lost instruction, but that is an important piece, I think, that parents really need to know. How many days of lost instruction are going on for some of these minor offenses? Is this the wise way to go? In fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Psychological Association looked at this problem. They all criticized the use of out-of-school suspensions when there are these other alternatives to addressing misbehavior. And that includes also improving the quality of classroom management and instruction that is going on.
I can imagine on some levels a student probably enjoys taking a break from school for a week, but it certainly does not help their education. Dan Lowson with the ACLU's Civil Rights Project.
The Civil Rights Project at UCLA,
okay.
Not at the ACLU. It's UCLA.
Oh, yep, UCLA.
The University of California.
There's a bit of a difference between the two. Thanks for the correction, Dan.
Sure.
Again, Dan Lowson, UCLA's Civil Rights Project. Dan, thanks for joining us on WILS.
Thank you for having me.
And, I might have a case of dyslexia here. I'm going to have to check with my doctor on that. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by the author of the book titled This Land of Strangers. You can probably guess what it's about. It's about us and the relationships we have and how they're very quickly degrading. That is next. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.